Welcome to the podcast version of Police Science Doctor, the online resource bridging the gap between research and investigative practice, for police personnel who go the extra mile, for academics who want to connect better with investigative practitioners, on YouTube and on policesciencedoctor.com.
Hello everyone, Suzanne Knaber-Nicole here with your weekly dose of police science snippets. And these snippets are bits of information that I've extracted from academic research articles published in the fields of police science, investigative psychology, forensic psychology, evidence policing, evidence-based policing, and similar fields. So they are bits of information that I think are in some way tangible, usable straight away, or something you can incorporate into your actions, into your doings, into your thinking. It's not that easy to find these on a weekly basis because a lot of academic research that is published is either very specific and very niche, or it's about testing methodologies or risk assessments, or it's often very intangible. So I try and find something that you can use in your roles, whatever they are around the world. And I then talk about these on this Tuesday webcast or broadcast, and I also send them into your inbox every Tuesday if you have put your details into the form on the Police Science Doctor website, so you can be on the email list. It's free to join and you can leave at any time, and you only get these weekly police science snippets sent to you, as well as announcements for conferences and so on, things that are relevant to anyone interested in police science, really. Just Google Police Science, go to the Google Police Science Doctor website and enter your details into the form there. It's at the bottom of each page or it pops up. So the first snippet of this week was about police misconduct investigations. Police officers vary in their perceptions of internal affairs processes, such as the fairness of these processes, their amenability to reforming these IA systems, and what reforms were perceivably appropriate. I've got a link to that original article in there in the PDF that you get if you go to the website, and you can access the read page or in the email. It's also there. I have put a comment under behind that link though, which is perhaps the principles of procedural justice apply here, such that increased perceived fairness and transparency of the processes increase police compliance with procedures. So we know that with members of the public, if they perceive the police to be just and justified in what they're doing, and that they are fair and transparent and treat people equally, they are much more likely to comply with the rules and less likely to break the law, and they're more likely to pass information on to the police. Maybe this happens in policing as well, that police officers and staff are more compliant with internal rules if those rules are fair, transparent, and if the enforcement, so these internal investigations departments or professional standard departments, they're often called here, if they are seen as fair and procedurally just. The second snippet for today is about victim blaming. Victim blaming by male subjects is significantly higher on average than by female subjects when all other predictors are held constant. The finding of the main effect of subjects' gender seems to be particularly important for the legal system, as it appears to make a difference who is asked in terms of victim blameworthiness. There again, the link to the original research. This article is actually open access, which means you can read the whole article. That is beyond my control. Unfortunately, it's got something to do with the publisher of the journal and the agreement they've got with the author. Again, I've got a comment after this link, which is, most people working in the criminal justice system are male. How does this affect the outcomes if men are much more likely to blame the victim of a crime than women are? And the last snippet is about county lines. Now, this is a term we use here in the UK. It's essentially the phenomenon of drugs gangs who have saturated cities like London, Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham. And there's a lot of turf war going on, and there's just too much going on there. They have a few years ago set up supply lines out of these large cities into much smaller coastal towns, rural towns, market towns, and villages. They sent their members on a coerced or on a lured basis on the train, in cars, but mainly on trains, into those smaller towns to distribute drugs and money. There's a lot of coercion involved. So the whole county lines issue, and it was those businesses always done on phones, which is why it's called lines. So county lines is basically spreading out into the countryside. The current study examined how willing a non-probability sample of adults were to engage in hypothetical activities typical of county lines and whether involvement could be predicted by perceived risk factors. So basically, how vulnerable would someone be, an adult? How likely would they be to get involved in county lines activities? Males and people with greater drug use scores were more likely to endorse engagement in a county line scenario involving drugs. So if somebody is a man and if somebody uses drugs or uses it more than other people they're being compared to, they're more likely to potentially get involved. So they could be targeted by county lines gangs. So these are the snippets for this week. Obviously, there might not be something specific to your role. You guys have very, very different jobs and professions around the world related to law enforcement. However, if you, as soon as you join the Police Science Doctor email list, and again, that's risk-free, it's spam-free, all of that, you actually get the password to access the read page on the Police Science Doctor website. And on there, you'll find all the previous snippets, 193 of them now in PDF format. So just go scroll through these, download every snippet you want, and you'll build yourself up a little library. So thank you for listening, and I'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you found this content useful. You can get access to each episode's transcript with key learning points, timestamps, and references if you get yourself onto my mailing list. Just go to the main website on policesciencedoctor.com, and on the bottom of each page you will find a sign-up form for notifications of new content. Just enter your first name, your preferred email address, and the type of organization you work for. You will not get any spam. This is just for me to let you know about new content and for you to get access to all the transcripts.